it's all about you and all about your kingdom, Father. This is why we come here together, Father. About you and just about you. And I pray, Lord, that the words what we're going to hear this evening, Lord, this afternoon, Lord, are going to be words which are coming from you, Lord. That we can hear it, those are words. And that we can bind whatever is keeping us busy, what we've got during the week or maybe this morning, Lord, that we can focus, that we can receive from you, Father. If the devil wants to play and he wants to draw our attention, then we can bind him in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can focus, Father. And I pray for the children next door as well, Father, that it will be just about you, Father. Just about you. Because our life is just about you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The children can leave with Renee. She's going to spend some time with them next door. I've got a feeling that two people are going to come and give a testimony of something what the Lord has done for them in this week what passed. Two. This is what I felt what the Lord is saying to me. So if you think about it, please come. And if not, and maybe something is popping up during your sermon, then we maybe can make space for it at the end of the sermon. Romy, do you want to come? You can do it in Dutch. I'll translate. Okay, there we've got two.
Hallo, iedereen. Goeiedag. Ja, de laatste 2-3 weken is er heel veel veranderd voor mij. En ja, dit is mijn schoonzusje en die probeert me eigenlijk al... Ik vind het heel moeilijk dit, om te praten voor heel veel mensen. Maar 2 jaar geleden ben ik gedoopt bij een andere gemeenschap. En toen heb ik me eigenlijk compleet... alles ging mis en alles ging down the dirt. Alles was echt heel slecht. Ja, alles ging bergafwaarts. En eigenlijk sinds 1 week of 3 ging het zo slecht... dat ik kan zeggen... dat ik ben aan mijn haren ben ik hier naartoe gebracht, zeg maar. En er stonden hele mooie mensen direct klaar voor ons... uit naam van Jezus, uit naam van God. En ja, sinds die 3 weken is mijn leven zo ontzettend veranderd en omgedraaid. Hier met jullie, met Jezus. Dat meen ik echt. Ik krijg ook kippenvel. En ja, dat wilde ik gewoon delen. Ik ben nog in een proces. Ik ben aan het groeien. Ik moet het allemaal ook... allemaal... Het is heel veel, maar het is heel mooi vooral. Het is mooi. En dat wil ik wel even met jullie delen. Dus, en daar wil ik jullie ook heel erg voor bedanken. Dat dus je dit samen willen delen. Amen.
Well, it was mostly about my brother too. Yes. And I must say, praying helps. Even if you think, oh, nothing happens. It only will get worse. Yeah. And sometimes you have to do things you don't want or you like... Why? And you just do it because God asks you, and then, Rachel, then it gives fruit.
Yes.
And then, so now they are here in the church, and I'm so grateful for everybody here too, for the people who came to their house and yes. Pray with us. And so, thank you, thank God.
Yeah. Amen.
It's all about God. If we take a look at the Bible, it's all about God. It starts in the beginning, it's all about God. First verse in the Bible says, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. It's all about God. And the God over there is in plural, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then the rest of the Bible, yes, if we take a look at the rest of the Old Testament, we've got people who their lives was just about God. We've got an Abraham, we've got an Isaac, we've got a Jacob, we've got a Moses and a Joshua and David, and we've got great prophets like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. But then we also have got smaller prophets whose lives were also all about God. It was Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, and we can carry on. And then if we go to the New Testament, with those people who followed Jesus, they were also learning over there. It's just about God. It's all about God. Nothing else. And they even were prepared to give their lives the apostles over there, because it was all about God. And that's actually what the whole Bible is about. It's about God, the Creator, and us, His creation. And then next week as well, if we take a look at it, next week is going to be Easter. It's all about God. If we come to Christmas, a lot of times it's about the birth of Christ. And then a lot of people think about the presents which are going along with it. So the focus is a little bit far out, because it's not about God. It becomes about the presence. That's the presence that's more important than actually what Christ is, who was born over there. But if we come to Easter, that love what God has got for us, that He sent His Son, that His Son died, that He was resurrected again. Yeah, if that didn't happen, then the whole gospel doesn't have any meaning, like Paul also says. And then, yeah, the logical question is, if it's all about God, and God has created us, where did He create us for? What's actually our purpose over here? What should we do? And why did God create us? And God created us for His pleasure. And it's actually very strange, but He created us for His pleasure. Revelations 4, verses 9 to 11. Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. And then again, you see, if we take a look at it, that they are giving glory and honor and thanks. That's thanksgiving. They're thanking the Lord for what the Lord has been doing for them. The 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns down before the throne and they say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and they exist because You created what You pleased." So God created us for His pleasure. It's actually very strange, but yes. And then we must probably ask, okay, if we've been created for His pleasure, what's our purpose? What should we do over here? We should glorify His name. Isaiah 43. "Everyone who is called by My name, whom I've created for My glory, I've formed him, yes, I made him. I've created him for My glory." It's for God's glory what we've got to do it. That's what we've been created for. And it's not just simply a creation, but if we take a look at it, it's actually He created us. He formed us. He made us. So the three verbs which are basically doing something. So it's not a quick, but it's really that God made us. He made us with a specific purpose for something. And then the first sentence as well, He says, "Everyone who is called by My name." And if the Lord is calling us by His name, we are getting His name. And we basically can say Father to Him. We've got the same surname, I nearly want to say. He's calling us by His name. And we've got to hear, we are here on earth to put God first in our lives. Matthew 6, verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." First, we've got to seek God's kingdom. So how many times is it not that we're waking up in the morning, that we're thinking about, ooh, what has got to be done this day or this or that or whatever? Yeah, but we should wake up. First thing we should think about is about God. It should be all about God. That should be in our lives. So if we take a look at our soul as well, which is our mind, our will, our emotions, those three, we should be continuously focusing about God. We should be thinking about God when we wake up, when we've got to make a decision of what type of music we're going to listen to. We've got to decide, okay, are we going to listen to that music or am I going to listen to that music? So we've got to think about God. What is God wanting us? What type of music should I listen to? What type of TV should I look to? If I should look to TV or not? All those type of things. I've got to make a decision. Where am I going to spend my time? Because you people decided to be this afternoon over here. Sun is shining. And if the sun is shining in the Netherlands, then the people are outside. They're taking their time. But you decided this afternoon. It's about God. you decided God is more important this afternoon than to spend some time with other people or to have a barbecue or anything like that. And that's awesome, because that is, it's about God. And sometimes we are losing focus. Sometimes the people are so busy with things around God that they actually forget about God. It's even so bad that there are sometimes churches who are so busy with other things around God, then God is not in the church anymore. They're so busy with structures and with all those type of things. But if you go there, you do not really actually find God. God is not there anymore. And then the people walk out of the church and they say, but I'm not experiencing God over there anymore. It's like God has left the building over there. Yeah, and the world says, what we're doing, if we put God first, and if we focus continuously on God, people say, we're mad. Because how can you trust in a thing what you cannot see? And typically, if we come to an area like Utrecht and clever people over here, they will only accept something if they can see it, if they can touch it, if they can write a thesis about it, if they can describe it, if they can test it, if they've done a research over it. And if it's not there, then immediately they move it one way and they say, no, I cannot explain it. Then there can't be any God. But okay, last time we spoke to a guy, a scientist, and he doesn't think there's a God. And I asked him, I said, but if you take all the knowledge which is in the world, how much of that knowledge do you have? No, he couldn't give a percentage. I said, but can I make a suggestion? Let's say, 20%. I think it's quite a lot, 20%. But anyway, the guy felt good. And so I said, okay, if 20%, if you know of all the knowledge, if you know 20%, isn't it possible that God is still in that 80%? That you still must find him? That you still must get that experience of him? I said, because what you're standing in front of me, I said, that the Lord exists is more reality for me as what you're standing in front of me. And that's, so to say, that I couldn't understand and he couldn't connect it, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, we could speak about it and we could talk about it. So yes, the world is saying we are mad what we're doing over here. And then the question comes, okay, if the whole world is about God, where do I fit in? Where do I come in? Is there somewhere a place for me? Yes, there is a place. We are very important. You are very important. And God is interested in us. Because if we take a look at the Bible again, it's the book of the love of God for us. Agree? Yes. Because God loves us. This is what the Bible is saying. And this is what we can say to other people as well. God loves you. Because that is where it is about. God is loving other people. I took Psalm 139 and I just took a few verses over there just to have a look at the description, how God is interested in us, how much he wants to think about us, and so on and so on. Oh Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar. You comprehend my path and my laying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you already know it. Now, if we take a look at it, you know my sitting down and my rising up. I'm married to Renee at the end of the year, 34 years. Changes each and every year, so I just have got to think. But if we take a look at it, she doesn't know everything about me. She knows a lot about me, but she doesn't know anything about me, or not everything about me. So if the Lord is knowing all my sitting down and all my rising up, you understand my thought afar off. Sometimes Renee can think something. And she thinks, okay, you're thinking that or you're thinking. But the Lord knows it. That's what Psalm 139 is saying over there. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. So which means before I actually say a word, the Lord already knows of what word I'm going to say. So yes, the Lord is really interested in us. He really wants to know what's going on. Verse 13, for you formed my inner parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. the Lord knitted me together in my mother's womb. Isaiah, I think, or someone, one of them has got it exactly the same. You knitted me in my mother's womb. You knitted me. That's awesome. To think that the Lord was involved in a process that I've been made, that you've been made. The Lord was involved with each and every one of you. This is how important you are for the Lord. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they should be more than the number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. The Lord has got so many thoughts about us. If we're going to count them, it's going to be more than the sand. So much the Lord is involved with us. So much the Lord is thinking about us. My wife Renee and my mum, who may be the closest to me ever, they think a lot about me. But not that amount of number. Not even close by. And it's awesome to see that the Lord is so interested in us. And that's actually where it is coming to. There was a relationship which was broken, where the Lord really wanted to be with us. And that's now that he wants to restore. He wants to come back to us. And that's what he's saying this afternoon to us as well. We are very important for him. He really wants to spend time with us. He wants to have that restoration of that relationship. He wants to restore it again. He wants to forget about the past. He only wants to have a future with us. That's only what he is interested in. He loves us so much that he sent his son. He actually came down in Jesus, and that we can have that relationship, that it can be restored again. And then also afterwards, that part of him in the Holy Spirit, he sent to us, that Holy Spirit, that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Part of the Creator of heaven and earth, we are allowed to ask it to be filled with that. It's actually incredible if we take a look what the Lord is prepared to do, what he wants to do from his side. And the Lord rejoices over you. He is excited about you, and he even sings about you. Zephaniah 3, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So the Lord is even singing over us. My wife is not singing over me. But the Lord is singing over us. It's incredible. When I was busy with that, I just became quiet and said, Lord, you've got such a lot of interest in us. You want so much involvement in us. You want to be really so close to us. And I don't think we actually understand it. We can't grasp it. And God has got a plan. He's got a plan, and he's got a plan with us, and he's got a plan with the world. And then the awesome thing is that we can be part of that plan. And it's for us actually to take the decision if we want to be part of God's plan as well. And if we're going to be part of God's plan, then we can be God's fellow workers. That word I battled a little bit because I thought, okay, let's say you're going to lay some bricks, and God is going to be a fellow worker with respect, which means that both of you are going to lay bricks. But then I had a look at what it actually means, the word fellow worker. And the word is coming out of the Greek, which it says sornergas. And sornergas, the word we are quite used to, is synergy. And synergy means is that the combined effect is greater than the sum of the individual effects. So which means together with God, more can be created. Is what we're going to try to do and try to do it on his own. But there's something else in it as well. It's not at the same level. It means that there is going to be a senior and one which is going to obey him. And that's what's going to be us. And we've had it in our life so many times. You've maybe done the same work together with somebody else, but the other person was in charge. The other person was telling you what to do, and it was guiding you and was helping you. And this is what God is telling us as well. He's inviting us that we can become a fellow worker with him, and that we can, do the same as what he is doing, but he's actually taking the lead, and he's helping us to show what exactly has got to be done. And if we come to the world again, what the world is saying about Jesus, they said Jesus doesn't exist. The Father doesn't exist. or you're coming with that story which is already 2,000 years old, or you're still believing in that. We hear it many times on a Thursday evening that they ask those type of questions. You even got people, and I nearly want to say they have a look at it. They've got a certain comments about it, but they do not want to go any further. Like last Thursday, we had somebody very interesting where we spoke to the guy, studied law and philosophy. And then his thesis in philosophy, what he studied on, what he wrote on, was about the New Testament. And I said, okay, but what did God tell you in the New Testament? What did he actually say to you in the New Testament? And he said, no, he said, he couldn't understand it. We tried to explain to him. Finally, we could pray for him. He didn't accept Jesus Christ, but we could pray for him. He was open for that, that we could pray for him. I could give him a card of mine as well. I said, if necessary, I would like to speak to you again, have a cup of coffee and talk about it again. Because it's nearly like you've got those type of doors when you go into a shopping center with a sensor at the top. So you've got to make that step forward, and then the door is opening up, and then you can walk in. And it's like God is inviting us as well like that. But if we're going to stand outside and we're just going to do all strange things and we're going to shout and scream, the door's not going to open up. We've got to come forward, and then the door is going up, and then we can have a relationship with the Father. And I could see him like that as well. That, and I pray that really something is going to happen, because we also pray that the Lord is going to reveal himself to him, which means if he's going to get a dream or if something is going to happen, I don't know. But I really trusted the Lord that something is going to happen in his life, that what he has been looking at, that it's going to be part of his life as well. And then the devil is also saying, devil, of course, the father of the lie, he's telling us that God the Father is as bad as what your earthly father is. Our earthly father is not perfect, but our heavenly father is perfect. And totally different. Our heavenly father is going to be with us forever and ever. Our earthly father, it's only going to be a limit period, and then it is over. And that love what God has for us, like Renee just now explained as well, we were in South Africa and Daniel was holding the child, and the child is 2 weeks, 3 weeks old, but you could see that love radiating from her over that child, the way that she's handling the child. She's not throwing the child like a soccer or like a rugby ball, no. Taking care, feeding it, changing nappies. When it's crying, going and spend time with it. Really that love. And this is how I see the Father as well, that the Father is really loving us. And he's humming around us, I nearly can say. He wants to spend time with us. But it's up to us. What are we doing with it? If we combine the two, and for us, it's all about God. But for God, it's all about us. He's just interested in us. He just wants to spend time with us. But that's not where we should actually spend too much time, or where we should focus on. Because those among us who are fortunate, who are married, if we take a look at the other partner, we try to spend as much time as possible in the other person. We are really interested in it. And we really want to do what the other partner is looking for. When I started dating Renee as well, I wanted to find out if it's coffee or tea, if it's three sugar, is it no milk? I wanted to find out, and I wanted to please her. I wanted to do what's going to be pleasant for her. Does she like to walk? Or does she prefer to cycle? Does she prefer to drive with a car? Or whatever the case may be. But you're asking questions and you're continuously on in communication. And this is what our relationship with God should be exactly the same as well. Should be continuously in communication. Part of communication is the Bible, that we can have a look and see what is on God's heart. What is he actually wants that we should do? And like we spoke before about the plan, that we should find out how can we fit in God's plan. Not how God is going to fit in our plan. No, because it's God's plan. He's the builder and he's the architect. And we're going to be as workers on his building site over there. So that's like that relationship, what we've got. And then God wants to be, he wants to be one with us. In 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 it says, but he who is joined with the Lord is one spirit with him. God wants to be one with us. And sometimes I also battled with it. I couldn't really understand it. How can the Lord be one with us? But if we take a look at the next picture, Christoph, and we take a look at the spirit, the soul and the body, is what we can see in 1 Thessalonians. that the Spirit, if the Spirit is not there, then we are a natural man, because God is not there. Then our will and our mind and our emotions are going to be what we think is going to be correct. So we watch the TV programs, what we think is going to be correct. We're going to do the things what we think is going to be correct. A lot of times, even what we think other people are going to like, that's what we're going to do. We even sometimes don't even make our own mind. We are thinking about what are the other people going to say about it, and then I'm going to do it because then the other people are going to like me. I must buy that pair of shoes, I must wear that type of jean or that type of brand of clothing and so on, because then the other people say, wow. That is when it's just a natural man. But if the Spirit part, if God is going to be coming part of us, then everything what we're thinking about, everything what we deciding about and our emotions is all going to be guided by what the Holy Spirit is going to tell us. And that is God. That is the Holy Spirit. And he's actually taking then part of that Trinity. He's taking that part of that Trinity and he puts it, if we allowing it, he puts it in us. And that's guiding us. And that for me is, yeah, that is, he wants to become one with us. He wants to be with us. And then it's not going to be about I, the me, and the myself, the me Trinity anymore. That's gone. That's finished. I battled with that one also for quite a few years. But I buried that one. I killed it and I wiped it out. It's all about God now. And when it is all about God, and when I understand what God feels about me, I'm actually feeling so lucky and I'm feeling so blessed. And then it's a pleasure to share it with somebody else. And then it is actually so easy to tell other people what your relationship with God is and that you can share it with other people. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Thank you that you're so great. You're so awesome. And you're interested in us. We actually cannot understand it, but that you've got so many thoughts about us. More is what they ascended to see. And we thank you for that, Father. But Lord, this is not where our life should be about. Our life should be just about you, Lord. That we can hear from you. That we can do what you want us to do. That we can live a life according to your plan, Father, on this earth. And as all the eyes are closed, I'm asking the question, if it's you who maybe says, I'm listening about that relationship, but I've never in my life made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I never said to the Lord, I want to accept you as my Father. And if the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart and you feel you would like to make that decision this afternoon, I'm giving you the opportunity now to raise your hand. And if the Holy Spirit has been stirring you this afternoon that you feel, yes, there was a relationship, or there is a relationship at the moment between me and the Lord, but it's actually more the way I want to have that relationship. And I'm not really listening to what the Lord is saying to me. And I feel that this afternoon I've got to make a commitment again. I've made a commitment before of accepting Jesus Christ and accepting God as my Father. But I want to recommit myself again this afternoon that I say, Lord, I really want to make my life all about you. Not other things, not what other people are thinking, not what other people are saying, but just about you. And if it's that you this afternoon that you say, yes, that message is for me. I've got to come and I've got to recommit to the Lord again and I've got to put the Lord number one in my life again. And I'm inviting you to put up your hand. Those who've put up the hand, if I maybe could ask you to be bold enough and to come forward over here. We're going to pray with them just now, but I would like to finish off with singing a song, and I'm going to ask Martin to, the Holy Spirit, tell him what song we've got to sing. It's just about God. And I would like to send you this afternoon. It's just about God. Just about God. Nothing else. Just about Him. And if we've got that pleasure of knowing who He is and who we are in Him, yeah, then there's such a lot of joy that we can have a smile on our face. And it doesn't matter where we are, if we are in the Netherlands or if we are in South Africa, that other people can see Christ in the way would we handling it.